If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a disciple. These disciples in the book of Acts, they were given a commission. They had the same Savior. They had the same power. Now, God had given them some special gifts that they did, healing people and, you know, speaking in tongues and things like that. And they used that, and they just covered the area with the gospel. We saw the verse tonight. These are they which turned the world upside down. We have the same Savior. We have the same commission. And I really believe that we can do, or we could, let me say this another way. It's not us doing it. Like John the Baptist said, he was a forerunner for Jesus. He wasn't the Christ. He wasn't the Savior. But he prepared people for the Savior. And I believe we could do a great work as disciples, working so that God can work. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. What did they do? Look at Acts chapter 2. Look at verse number 36. Acts chapter 2, verse number 36. We've been preaching over the same chapter for quite a while, so I'm not going to take the time to read all of this. Peter is preaching, and right at the end of his message, here's what he says. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Here's what they did. They magnified Jesus as God. What did the disciples do? One of the big things that the disciples did was they made sure people knew that Jesus is God. Jesus isn't just a prophet. He's God. He isn't just a great teacher. He is God. Look at that verse again. I want you to see this word. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and, the next word, Christ. Christ is the word that is used in the New Testament, just like the word Messiah is used in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to use that verse for you tonight to prove to you that Jesus is God, but I'm going to give you a bunch of Bible tonight showing you where the Bible says that Jesus is God. Why is that important? Well, there's going to be somebody that comes and knocks on your door, and that person probably won't be a Baptist, because we need a whole lot more Baptists knocking on doors. We're outnumbered here in this area. But let me tell you this. It will be probably a Jehovah's Witness, or it will be a Mormon. Those are the two biggest groups that go out and try to convert people to their religion. And one of the big things that they are going to try to convince you of is that Jesus was a good man, that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus came to set an example, that he even died on the cross. But the one thing that they're going to try to convince you that is different than the Bible says is that Jesus is not God. They'll try to convince you that Jesus, if they're Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is a God. Mormons will also teach you that Jesus is a God. But they don't believe that Jesus is God. In fact, that's the difference between what the Bible teaches and so many religions. If you found out what a religion teaches about Jesus, what do you say about Jesus? Who do you believe Jesus is? You will know a lot about whether that religion is accurate or false. If they believe that Jesus is God, most of the time they're right on. If they just say that he's a son of God. Now, there are some religions that will still say that Jesus is God that have gone a different direction. This is important for us to understand. Jesus is God. What did the disciples do? They magnified Jesus as God. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. We're going to look through this chapter just a little bit. Acts 2, 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So in this verse, we're seeing that they are presenting, as Peter is preaching, the disciples are preaching here, many people are hearing, they're presenting Jesus as a man approved by God. So that's good, but it still doesn't say that Jesus is God. Look at that verse again. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. God approved of him, and he did it by miracles and wonders and signs. Look at verse number 24. Oh, by the way, to say that someone has God's approval is a big statement. If you were to come up and say, this man has God's approval, that is a very big statement, but it's not really where we're trying to get to tonight. Peter said that, and then he said something else, Acts 2, 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He presented Jesus as a man that was raised from the dead by God. Now, does being raised from the dead make a person God? No. In fact, Jesus came and raised Lazarus from the dead. It didn't mean that Lazarus was God. So here's what I want you to understand. I want you to follow this message that Peter's preaching. He presented Jesus as a man approved by God. He presented Jesus as a man raised from the dead by God. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 31. You've got the same teaching. Acts 2, 31. He's seeing this before, talking about David, King David, the prophet David, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. What is he doing? He's presenting Jesus as a man that was raised from the dead by God. Let's go a little bit further. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So he presented Jesus as a man that was exalted by God to sit on the right hand of God. Now, does that make a person God? No. It was James and John. Remember, they came up or their mom came up and asked, would you do me a favor? They asked Jesus, would you do us a favor? Would you allow my sons to sit one on the right hand and one on the left hand? And Jesus said, that's not mine to give. That's God the Father. He's the one that's going to give that. He presented Jesus as a man approved by God. He presented Jesus as a man raised from the dead by God. He presented Jesus as a man that was exalted by God. But then verse 36 comes. And in verse 36, he identifies Jesus as God. We're seeing these amazing things about Jesus. Then he pulls it all together. Acts 2:36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. This Jesus, he's approved by God. He's raised from the dead by God. He's exalted by God. And not only that, he is God. He identified the man that was sent by God, approved by God, and raised by God, and exalted by God. He identified that man as God. And I'm going to give you some Bible verses, and I think this is going to be very helpful for you. You can make some notes, you can turn there, but I've got a lot to give you. I had to stop. There was a lot more, but I had to stop because I just realized my notes were getting kind of long, and I just thought, you know, the mind can't endure more than the seat can handle. I understand that. So we're going to try to give this to you kind of quickly this evening, but I want to help you. I believe this will help to strengthen your faith. Jesus is God. I want you to get this. I'm going to have you turning a lot of places tonight. So first of all, go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3. Isaiah 40, verse number 3. And this is going to be just a little bit different. Like I said, it's going to be like a Bible study type of a message tonight. I have a tough time with these because I'm ready to go on to the next part, but I'm waiting for you to find that spot, okay? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the, what's the next word? Lord. Now, this was Isaiah talking. This was a prophecy talking. Not a prophecy, a prophet talking. And this was a prophecy. And he said, this is what the forerunner of the Messiah is going to say. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Make straight in the desert a highway for our, what's the next word? God. Now, John comes along. And he introduces Jesus the very same way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Speaking of Jesus, John used the word Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The word Lord like that in the King James Version means Jehovah. The word Jehovah means the existing one. The one that always has been. In fact, when Moses was talking to the bush, do you remember? He said, who do I say sent me? And God out of that burning bush said, tell them I am sent you, the existing one. Whenever John introduced Jesus, the man Jesus, he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of this. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, God spake to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. This is God, the Almighty God, the God of the Old Testament that was talking to Moses, the same God that gave the Ten Commandments, said, I am the Lord. But Isaiah said that the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, would be saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Here's what I want you to get. The Lord Jesus is the same as the Lord God of the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." Here's what I want you to get from this little passage. God Almighty, Jehovah God, the one that appeared to Moses, the one that appeared to Abraham, is the same one that John introduced. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." I didn't write down the passage. I'm going to give you that assignment. You can look that up. Where did John say that? Speaking of Jesus, John used the word Lord. Let's go on to the next one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 2, 8. If you stick with me through this, this will help you. It's going to help you to be able to answer somebody. It's going to help you to know in your mind, yes, Jesus is God. I knew some of these before, but as I studied, I realized, wow, there's more. There's so much more than I ever realized. Proof from the Bible, Jesus is God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. "Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Talking about Jesus. In James chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." Who is the Lord of glory? We know, if you're going to say the Lord of glory, we're talking about God. But then James is so clear when he says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, then comma, the Lord of glory with respect to persons. Jesus is the Lord of glory. I want you to see that God called Jesus the Lord our righteousness. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. This is Old Testament. This is God the Father, the Old Testament, as we would understand. See, some people get the idea that Jesus came and he's different in the New Testament than he was in the Old Testament. What I'm trying to help you to understand, he's the same person. God the Almighty, God the Father of the Old Testament is the same as God the man, God the Son that came in the New Testament. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. This is God speaking to this man named Jeremiah, this prophet. Here's what he said, "Behold, the days come." If you're looking at it, what are the next three words? "Saith the Lord." This is God talking. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Talking about Jesus there. "In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called." So he's talking about this son of David, a descendant of David, this righteous branch, this king that's going to reign and prosper, that's going to execute judgment and justice in the earth. We're talking about Jesus. And then he says, his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. In the book of Jeremiah, God the Father calls Jesus the Lord our righteousness. Jesus is God. Jesus, as God said, "I am first and the last." Look at Isaiah chapter 48. We're going to go there, then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 1. You know in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus says, "I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and Omega." But I want you to see it in Isaiah chapter 48. Did you find it? Isaiah 48, verse 11. "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it." This is God speaking. "For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." We would say this is God the Father speaking. God, the Almighty God speaking. Now look at verse 12. Isaiah 48, 12. "Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last." This is God the Father speaking. And he says, "I am the first and I am the last." Now to go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We know in Revelation chapter 1, this is Jesus talking now. I'm gonna read it to you, but I want you just to understand that that's who it is. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. So in the Old Testament, God said, "I am the first and the last." Now in Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, who is it that says, "I am the first and the last"? Well, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. This is John speaking, the Apostle John, and just jump in and you can... We'll join in mid-conversation. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Let's just stop there for just a moment. Can you imagine God's voice? A voice as of a trumpet. He didn't hear a trumpet. A voice as of a trumpet. Whenever you hear the trumpet's loud. If you had somebody that snuck up behind you and knew how to play a trumpet And you were standing there with your hands in your pocket, minding your own business on the edge of the steps. And somebody came behind you with a trumpet and blew the trumpet really loud. They would probably scare you. You'd probably jump. Here's John. He said, I was the Spirit of the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. It wasn't a trumpet. It was a voice, but it was like a trumpet. But what did it say? Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was, let me start that over, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. John had seen Jesus. John had spent time with Jesus. And here he was on this island of Patmos. And he heard this voice behind him. He turns around to see who it is. There's these seven golden candlesticks. And he sees one. And he says he's as the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto brass, fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And he describes this a little bit later. We won't go into all of that right now. And out of his mouth went out a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Here's the phrase again. I am the first and the last. Now, we know we're talking about Jesus here. In just a moment, I'm going to prove it to you. God in the Old Testament is Isaiah. He said, my name, the first and the last. And now John turns around and he hears this voice saying, I am the first and the last. And then he falls down at his feet like he's dead. And his hand touches him. He says, fear not. I am the first and the last. Who is it? Well, look at verse 18, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Nobody else fits this description. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Who else fits that description? This is Jesus. Wait, maybe it's Lazarus because he was dead and he rose again. Wait a minute, he died. What a bummer for Lazarus. He died twice. He was dead, he rose again, but he didn't live forevermore. Jesus, though, I was dead. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Who was it in the Old Testament that said, I am the first and the last? It was God. Who was it in the New Testament that said, I am the first and the last? It could only be one person. It was God. Jesus is the one who said, I am the first and the last. And Jesus in the New Testament is the same as God in the Old Testament. Here's what I want you to get. Jesus is God. Yes, there are three parts of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I can't explain it very well. I was laying in bed, I think it was last night. Nights kind of run together after a while. Thinking, and maybe it's because of this message, thinking, you've had this thought before. Where did God come from? I know this is silly. I've been saved for a long time, and I've even been a pastor for a while. But when you stop and try to logic through this, and you think, okay, so God created everything, but what did he do before that? Where did God come from? It doesn't make sense. Sometimes there's just some questions that they don't make sense. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. I don't understand all of it, but I know it's true. And here you have Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus, let me say it this way. Jesus as God saying, I am the first and the last. He said it in the Old Testament. And then in Revelation, this part that describes the future, I am the first and the last. This is big. Jesus is God. Jesus not only said, I am the first and the last, but the Bible tells us that Jesus is equal with God. Go to Philippians chapter 2, if you would. You're probably familiar with this verse. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Hey, now listen, if I don't get all of this in tonight, I'm still going to let you out at the same time, okay? So don't worry about that. Just come on, go along with me for the ride. I think you're going to learn something. How many of you like algebra besides Miss Stephanie? All right? I know Miss Stephanie likes algebra. Miss Stephanie likes algebra like Miss Shanna is cold. I mean, it's just like their identities, right? Larissa, you like algebra? Who else likes algebra? You like algebra? I kind of like algebra. I like that it makes sense and you can use it. I got to algebra 2 and I just thought, okay, this is as far as I want to go. Then I did trig and calculus and all that and I just didn't do good. I got the point in calculus where I didn't even know the questions to ask. The teacher would say, who's got questions at the end of the lesson? And I was like, I have no clue what you just said. I can't even ask an intelligent question. Algebra. All right, we're going to come back to that here in just a moment. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who are we talking about? Christ Jesus. Remember the word Christ, the old is the New Testament word for the Old Testament word Messiah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus is equal with God. Now, if Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, Jesus never made a mistake. It would have been blasphemy to say, for Jesus to say, I'm equal with God. It would have been blasphemy for Jesus to even think that he was equal with God. I mean, none of us could ever think that. I'm like God. I am equal with God. Today, I am feeling God-like, equal with... No, that would be blasphemous. If Jesus ever thought he was equal with God, but the Bible says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, put your algebra brain back in your head, all right? There's no way to be equal with God unless you are God. For those of the rest of you that didn't like algebra, here's a statement that I learned when I was a teacher to try to make friends as I was teaching algebra. Algebra is not hard. Algebra is just different, right? And I would smile and all my students are like, yeah, drop dead. To be equal with God is to be the same as God. In algebra, the equal sign and what word are interchangeable? What is it? Is, right? Two equals two. Okay, that was a pretty obvious one. Two is two. Are we getting too deep for anybody tonight? All right. So equal. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus equals God. Or in algebra, you could say it this way. Jesus is God. Isn't that interesting how even just using math, we could see it's the same. Jesus is equal with God. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's because he was God and he is God. Go to John chapter 12. This one's awesome. John chapter 12. Verse number 37. Oh, we're just finishing page 2 and I've got 5. There's so much I want to give you. All right, John chapter 12. Can you find John chapter 12? Find it quick. Hurry, hurry. Isaiah saw the glory of God. We're going to get to there in just a minute. It's an amazing passage where he talks about seeing the glory of God. Whoa, it blows me away reading about seeing the glory of God. We're going to read it here in just a moment. But we're going to John chapter 12. So look at John chapter 12, verse number 37. But though he, I underlined that in my notes, had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him. I underlined that as well. You don't have to, but I did. Talking about Jesus. John 12, 37. Now verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Look at the next verse. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Now we're in the New Testament. This is John. We're talking about Jesus, the very first verse. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And in verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Whose glory did Isaiah see? Well, he saw the glory of God, but we're not talking about God. We're talking about Jesus. In John chapter 12, we're not talking about God the Father. We're talking about Jesus. Let me read that verse to you again. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one that was doing the miracles. Then you go to verse 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Isaiah was speaking of who? Jesus. He looked and he saw the glory of God. So go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 describes this. And here's what we've got to get past. Sometimes we think, well, Jesus is like the toned down version of God. No, wait, Jesus is God. Jesus is all God. There's nothing about Jesus that wasn't God. It's just that he was also in the flesh, in the body. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now you got to remember, whenever we're talking about this, if you were just reading this in Isaiah, you're picturing the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, sitting on this throne. But if you'd have just read John chapter 12, verse 41, these things say to Isaiah, we're talking about Jesus. So here's Jesus, here's God the Father, here's Jesus, here's God sitting on this throne, all right? Sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With 20 he covered his face, and with 20 he covered his feet. With 20 he did fly. That's going to be awesome just to see that. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah was looking up and he saw this vision and he saw God. But then we realize in John chapter 12, verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. He was talking about Jesus. Here's what I want you to get. I'm not trying to take away anything from God the Father. What I'm trying to do is help you to realize Jesus is God. There's nothing about Jesus that isn't God. Well, let me give you a couple kind of quickly here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, "The Lord hath made all things for himself." That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Jehovah. That Old Testament rendering of the word Lord there, Jehovah. "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." That was in Proverbs. That's in the Old Testament. But you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. God says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated into the kingdom of his dear Son." The two verses later, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God?" Jesus the Son, the image of the invisible God. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Now listen to this. All things were created by him and for him. Okay, Proverbs said, "The Lord hath made all things for himself," talking about God. Colossians said, "All things were created by him and for him." Old Testament, God made all things for himself. New Testament, Jesus created all things, and all things were made by him and for him. What do we see here? God that created all things is the same Jesus who created all things. Everything was made for God. Everything was made for Jesus. Everything was made by God. Everything was made by Jesus. What do you see? You see that they are the same person. Jesus is the child that was born and the mighty God. I'm going to give them to you quick. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Okay, this is a prophecy. A child is born. That's not God, right? We're talking about, we know that it is God, but in their minds, we're talking about a person. A child is born. "Unto us a son is given." We're talking about a man. We know about Jesus. But when you continue the verse, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." Jesus, the child that was born, is the Mighty God. Jesus is not only the mighty God, but the Bible says he's the great God. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of all good works." So this may not be a good verse to prove that Jesus is God to a skeptic, because here it says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Somebody might look at that and say, "Well, it's talking about two different people." Okay, I'm not trying to prove this to you. I believe you already understand the truth of this. I'm just trying to give you another verse that helps you understand what it's talking about. So, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Who are we talking about? The very next verse says, "Who gave himself for us." Who gave himself is talking about one person. The great God and Savior Jesus Christ is that one person who gave himself for us. In Ecclesiastes and in 2 Corinthians, when you put these together, you realize that Jesus as God is the judge. Let me read these two verses for you. "For God," this is Ecclesiastes 12:14, "for God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So we're Old Testament talking about God. The name Jesus hasn't been used yet in Scripture. We don't even know who he is yet. And the Bible says God will bring every work into judgment. But 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Timothy 4:1 says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. What are we just trying to help you to understand? Jesus is God. Jesus is the judge. He is God. Jesus is God with us. You know this verse, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus became flesh. Jesus is the Word and Jesus is God. Here it is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the one being talked about here is God. The Word was God, okay? And then you go a little bit further, John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus became flesh. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. Go ahead and look at this one. We're going to have to be done with this one, I think. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. There's so much more, and we may come back to this another time. If nothing else, the rest of that study was good for me. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28. Who purchased us with His own blood? It was Jesus, right? If I was to ask you, who shed their blood? Who purchased us with their blood? You'd say Jesus. Well, yeah, you'd be right. But look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God," look at this, "which He hath purchased with His own blood." Who purchased you with His blood? Well, Jesus. He's the one who died on the cross. But according to this verse, God. Feed the flock of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. I'm not exactly sure how to end this, but I'm going to end it. Jesus is God. There's so much proof in the Bible Jesus is God. Somebody's going to try to come and confuse you and help you and try to teach you that Jesus is not God. Jesus is God. Because He is God, He could die on the cross and pay the price for our sins. Because He is God, He can carry, He's got big shoulders. He can carry our griefs and our sorrows. We can take everything to Him. He is God. Wow, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. We mentioned that this morning. Oh, what a Savior. Father, thank You for this truth. Thank You that Jesus came to this earth as God. And God died on the cross. And God paid the price for our sins. And God rose again. And God wants to give us eternal life. And God is with us. And God lives inside of us as believers. What an amazing truth this is. And God will never leave us or forsake us. And God would lift us up. And God would carry us through our troubles. Because God faced every temptation, yet did not sin. God, it's hard for us to even understand this. It's hard to comprehend it. But that's an amazing love. The same God that would create us, breathe into our nostrils the breath of life, the same God that would make everything, would also die to become our Savior. It's an amazing thought. God, thank You that You loved us. You define love for us. You are love. Without You, we'd have no concept of what it is. Thank You, God, that You came to this earth. You became a man. You died for us.